Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman, as always, here with Mike Morreale. Mike, it's a huge day on our calendar, on the draft calendar. NHL Central Scouting has released its final rankings. North American international skaters and goalies. And really, we're going to talk a lot about the North American list today. No real surprise. Right at the top, number one, Gavin McKenna. I'm not surprised. I can't imagine you are either.
No, I'm not, Adam. By the way, it's great getting back into the swing of things here. We have a great show today. I was in Montreal to listen in on the final discussions and debate by the 8 full-time scouts and 2 European scouts via Zoom of the 26 draft-eligible players. Today, we'll get into the official recap, right? Courtesy Central Scouting's VP and Director of the Bureau, Dan Marr. And as you mentioned, Adam, there's a number of interesting questions in regards to this draft class. And Gavin McKenna, we all anticipate he should be the number one pick, or despite the solid freshman season that he had, which included 9 team records, will McKenna even go first overall? I mean, personally, I think he should be there. I liked what I seen out of McKenna this year. Took him some time to really become adjusted to the college game. I think that was something we all anticipated in this player, but he finished with 51 points. I think he had 8 points against Ohio State at one point in the regular season there in a Big Ten matchup. He had a hat trick in the World Junior Tournament for Team Canada and their third-place finish. So, there's a lot to discuss here with Dan, including Gavin McKenna. So we're looking forward to this.
Yeah, with McKenna, we all knew coming in as a 17-year-old, actually, to start the season, he didn't turn 18 until December, that there would be an adjustment period. Go back and watch every game he's played since World Juniors. What do you have, 29 points in his final 19 games? Yeah. I think that tells you everything you need to know about Gavin McKenna and what his future is at the NHL level. But rather than listen to us talk about it, let's go to the guy himself, the man in charge of NHL Central Scouting, Dan Marr, Director of NHL Central Scouting. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us today. Let's jump right into it. The final rankings are out. Gavin McKenna is number one on the North American side among the skaters. Dan, when we spoke at the midterms, you said there wasn't a lot of debate over who number one could be then. When you met now, was it the same consensus that it was that McKenna and then everyone else?
Yes, Adam. We only had to do one vote, and it was a unanimous vote. And then we moved on. So it's kind of nice and neat when you don't have to spend a great deal of time arguing over the number one. But like in any case, depending on the draft lottery and the team that's drafting, anybody could really go number one. It just depends on who's in the driver's seat. But for our group, Gavin McKenna's performance, not just this year, but for the past like 3 years plus that he's been, in the highlights, he's done an outstanding job playing as one of the youngest players on his team. He finds a way to produce at every level that he's been at. And what we saw at Penn State games this year is that he could go out there and they would play the system, they would generate chances, things weren't working, then all of a sudden you could just see a click where, I don't know what's going through his head, but when we were watching, it was just, all right, enough's enough. We got to get something done here. And then he'd take charge, take control of the game. But it's his unique intellect for the game, his vision and anticipation. Like, he's one of these players that has the eyes in the back of his head to make plays. And this is the type of player who things are only going to get better as he moves forward because he's going to be playing on a roster full of good players. This is the guy that with good players, good things are going to happen, and they're going to happen for a long time.
Yeah, one of the things that's not brought up too, Dan, is the fact that I was looking at how many line mates he had during the course of the year, and out of necessity and injuries to Penn State, he played with 10 different line mates this year, which I thought was kind of remarkable, and he still was able to maintain that consistency. So good on Gavin McKenna and what he was able to do. But there is a logjam here, Dan, with these solid defensemen we see ranked 2 through 5. Chase Reed, Carson Carls, Keaton Verhoef, Daxon Rudolph, What were the reasons the group determined, Chase Reed of Sault Ste. Marie, the best of the bunch, and how close was Carl's of Prince George from getting that spot?
It was difficult to come up with this order, and there is strong consensus that all four of these D-men are going to be franchise builders. We can, when you bring them in, you can work around them, build around them. Any of them have a chance to go at number two. And what it came down to for us was Chase Reed. He had kind of been an unknown going into the season. Carl's, we've watched for a while. Verhoef, we've watched for a couple of years. Rudolph, well-known commodities. Chase was the new kid on the block. But at every level, every situation he was put in, he wasn't just good. He excelled. And he excelled with the puck. But also, he has a very strong defensive game, which I don't know that he gets enough credit for. So, for us, one of the things that we look at in our projection is we say, like, down the road, who may have the higher ceiling? And it's very subjective. But every time you did a vote, it would be like just one ahead for Carl's or Reed, depending on how you phrase the question. But at the end of the day, everyone just conceded, if we're going to stick on a projection with the highest ceiling down the road, then we'll put Reed number two. But Carl's is the guy in the back pocket that you're going to be just as happy on draft day if you grab him.
Dan, when you look at Caleb Malhotra from OHL Brantford and Tynan Lawrence of Boston University, they're the top two centers in the North American rankings. They're number six and seven. What put them in that order? And with Lawrence making the move to BU halfway through the season, what did you see from him when he had that different level of competition versus when he was playing in the U.S. Hockey League?
Well, again, these are two highly skilled, talented centermen. And I'll just preface this by saying that either one of them could go two through seven as well. As you know, some teams put a priority value on centermen. And you're going to be able to get a top centerman in either of these two. Caleb right now had a more well-rounded game for us. And again, going into the season, he was a bit of an unknown for us. He'd played in the BCHL last year, didn't have the CHL underage experience. But right from the very first game of the season, we knew we had to move him to an A prospect. He's got that complete game. He plays with composure, with compete, and he goes out there and he makes plays where there's no play to be made. And I was sitting with a couple of first round picks from Brantford that were out of the lineup, and they were chastising me that we didn't have Malhotra high enough on our list at midseason. So he's very well respected within his team and within the league. And Tynan Lawrence, arguably the best player on Canada U18 at the Hlinka Gretzky. He was a standout player the season before in Muskegon. Unfortunately, he had some nagging injuries that just kept him out of the lineup at the start of the year. But whenever he was in, he just has these natural instincts for the game. He's got that NHL speed and quickness. And it was a unique move to BU after the midway point. But, players now have the opportunity to make these kind of decisions as to where they play. And I give Jay Pandolfo and the Terriers coaching staff credit. They brought him in and they put him in a situation to have success. And what it did was just highlight this kid's hockey smarts and his compete because he went in there, he was trying to do things. Yes, he made some mistakes, but he quickly recovered from them. He knew what had to be done. And he got more confidence by the more he played. And so by the end of the season, there's no way you thought you were looking at a freshman out there. He came in and took over a solid role on that team. And I think Anyone that had some doubts as to how he would do or why he would make this move, I think he erased them all by the time this end of the season came.
Dan, Nikita Klepov of Saginaw, a real nice jump here to number 8 on their final ranks from 16. What did the group kind of see in Klepov? Because we're looking at a player here with an exceptional shot and a great motor to lead the OHL in scoring.
He's a player again. We didn't have an underage year with him in the CHL. He did play in the USHL, but his ice time was a little spotty there. And he came into Saginaw, and the coaches there gave him credit. They put him with a mature centerman in Barabanov, and they just clicked. But this is the guy, I'll age myself going back to the days of Eric Lindros and Bobby Hull, even in my days with Atlanta, to Ilya Kovalchuk. And so I meant Brett Hull, not Bobby Hull. That's really aging. Brett Hull and Ilya Kovalchuk, in that, how is it these guys were always open to get that one-timer off, especially on the power play? How is it that the teams couldn't check a player? This is the National Hockey League, and these guys are pumping goals in, and the puck's going to come to them. He's got that type of a game, and he knows he sees the ice. He gets open. He wants the puck on his stick, but he's got that release. He's got that quickness and the velocity to his shot. But what I don't think he gets enough credit for, he's one of the better two-way players on that team. So he knows the game. And I think it started, he played for USA at the Hlinka Gretzky, where he kind of made himself noticeable to where teams were saying, we got to keep our eye on this kid. But like he plays with, like, how he's got that twinkle in his eye. He just loves the game, loves to have the puck. He's got that Ovi in him where he just wants to play the game. So I can see a team stepping up for this player, and he plays the same game every night. He's got that consistency factor, which I think the teams will like. And I don't know. As soon as he gets physically strong and ready, I think he's going to hit the NHL scene in a big way.
Dan, Ethan Belches from OHL Windsor is number 9 on your list, despite he last game was February 28th because of an injury. And it's doubtful we see him again this season. It's his second season in the league, so obviously your group has a book on him. But I'm curious what was seen in the second half to keep him in that number 9 spot that he was in at midterm. And do you have any update on his status, his recovery? Is he trending to be ready for rookie camp in September? Or, would he be cleared even sooner? Maybe we could see him in the physical testing, the fitness testing at the combine.
Well, Ethan did a lot of times got players in his situation. By the time it gets to the draft year, everybody's looking for the holes in their game. And Adam or Ethan, he filled in the holes this year to his game. So any doubts that people had, he kind of erased them. But it's hard for teams to go by. He's 6'5 plus, solid 225-pound power forward who has good hands, good puck skills, good hockey sense. He understands the game. And as we all know, when you look around the league, at the junior level and at the pro NHL level, sometimes the bigger players take a little longer to reach their peak. He's already good now, and we know he's not at his peak. So this is someone that we just said that he's rock solid going forward, at every level that he's played at. He's a huge, huge physical athlete, but he's probably one of the more humble guys you'll meet if you meet players at the combine. And he was dealing with an upper body fracture, and fractures, 6 to 8 to 10 to 12 weeks for healing, and then you're good to go. So right now, this is not an injury that's going to impair him in the future. And right around combine testing time would be the day to where he would probably gain some clearance, but we'll wait and see as we get closer there. We'll see what his medical people indicate and ours. But if he's not 100% plus, we're not going to make him do the testing at the combine. He can save himself for when he goes to the NHL camps.
Dan, one of the great conversations when I was at the meetings, joined the group there in Montreal, was between two similar style defensemen, Tommy Blyle of Moncton and Xavier Villeneuve of Blainville-Beaubien. I was hearing comparisons to, Quinn Hughes. The Hudsons were in there for each of these players. I want to, what's kind of separates them? Blyle is number 17 on Central's final list, and Villeneuve is number 19. So very close in the order there. But I'm curious, similar size, similar type of work ethic, but what made you put Blyle maybe over the top?
Again, these are factors that they're tough to come up with a consensus. And the Canadians were gracious enough to host us at the game against Tampa last week, and it did nothing to help sort it out watching Lane Hutson play. So these players are in that same conversation in that. The puck is on their stick whenever they're on the ice. All right. You don't, nobody talked about Lane Hutson's defensive play in the game. And when you watch Villeneuve and Blyle, everyone wants to assume they're smaller, they're offensive, they must be weak defensively. That's not necessarily the case. But again, I'm going to go back to Villeneuve, it's his third year in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, Quebec Maritime Junior Hockey League. Blyle is his first year in the league. And the way he's come in as a first-year player, it was just lights out. So he's being given the benefit of the doubt that he's going to, continue on this progress. They're going strong. They could go a long way in the playoffs here. But just anyone who, when they have the puck on their stick, can control the game, and then they have the skill set to generate offense. They can make that first pass out of the zone. You can only have one of those players on your team at the NHL level, but both of these guys are candidates. And I'll defend Villeneuve a little bit again because, yes, it's his third year. So, like I said, everyone, they look to pick his game apart. But it's projection. So 2 years from now, I'm still projecting he's only going to get better. He's not at his level right now. So they both have an upside, but we're going back to the same conversation we had with the other defense. Right now, they just feel that there's a higher ceiling for Blyle to be the impact player that NHL teams would like to be that one undersized D-man on your roster that can make a difference.
So, Dan, sticking to the topic of having difficulty telling guys apart, Marcus and Liam Ruck, the twin brothers from Medicine Hat, they finished 1-2 in the WHL scoring race. Marcus was first with 108, and Liam was second with 104. Can't really tell them apart off the ice, but on the ice, Marcus is number 23 in the rankings. Liam is number 18. What stood out to the group, and what put them where they landed in the final order?
Well, both of them had an outstanding year. And, they're not big forwards, and they have a lot of NHL qualities and assets, but it's hard to distinguish one really strong identifier with each of them. They're both skilled, they're both smart, they both compete with their skills and assets. And for us, the NHL is full of talented and skilled players. And so Liam, we think as far as the talent goes, with the skills, the creativity, making these behind the back passes that go tape to tape, just making those highlight reel plays with the puck, Liam is the one that we look at to be a little bit more offensively inclined. Even though Marcus puts up just as many or more points, Marcus, when we look at him, we view him as more of the all-around complete player that can play in any situation, get the job done, protect the lead, create goal-scoring chance when you need it. do the dirty work down low and in front of the net. But then you do get confused in the game because their roles sometimes switch in the games where Marcus is showing some skill in Liam. But just on the overall talent level that produces offense, Liam ended up ahead. But there's a healthy respect for both of them. And I can really see some teams liking Marcus's game better than Liam's. And it's going to be interesting on draft day just to see where they go. I can tell you, like, some teams don't necessarily feel that their game will translate the same at the NHL level, but I think enough scouts have also been burned by you never say never, because these two have proven themselves year after year in every situation that they've put in. And I found it quite impressive. We're preparing for the combine, and almost all the Western Hockey League players, even a couple from Ontario, when we asked them who they'd like for a roommate, they said one of the Rucks. So they're obviously good leaders and very good teammates.
All right, most importantly, though, can you or anyone else on your staff tell them apart without a name tag?
I did the heights and weights at the prospects game, and they were in their bare feet, and so I can tell them apart because Marcus had an ankle injury. So if I see their bare feet, I could have a pretty good guess as to which is Marcus and which is Liam, but that would be the only way.
It was funny, Dan, at the meetings, John Williams mentioned why couldn't Liam be the lefty of the twins, right? So it'd be so much easier to remember Lefty Liam. That, but instead, Liam's the right-handed shot. Marcus is the lefty. Oh well, JW. Yeah, you can't win them all. So yeah, that was funny. Last one here, Dan. Wyatt Cullen is the highest ranked USA Hockey National Team Development Program player, number 13. Was 23 at the midterm. What did the group see in Wyatt over the second half of the season that gave him that 10 spot boost?
Well, one of the tangible things was that he had missed significant time in the first half. And what we had noticed right away was from last year, we measured him at the start of the season to the start of this season, he'd grown significantly and he'd put on some good weight. But then he had some injuries that impacted him. But whenever he went in the lineup, it was like he hadn't missed a step. And he is a complete package with skating, skills, smarts, compete. And what stood out for us was the way he would elevate his game to the situation. He was their best player against the CHL when those games came about. He's always been a strong leader when they play in the U18 tournaments. And what we noticed, it was just an obvious thing that stood out for us as scouts on Central Scouting, was that whenever he wasn't in the lineup, the national team was a different team. When he was in the lineup, he was just that glue that held everybody together, the conductor that kept the train on the tracks. So, like, there's a healthy respect for these type of players. They can go on. He could have a Nick Suzuki type career where not only does he wear the C and be a leader, but he can put up the points. And like this is just a high character player. He's got the hockey DNA in his family roots, but every time we go there, he proves to be the best player on that team and the best NHL prospect on the team. And he again, this was a consensus pick from everybody on our team. Whenever we have this guy in the voting booth, Wyatt Cullen is consistently well respected and well liked by all our staff.
That's great stuff, Dan. Dan, we could talk all day and all night about the final rankings list. Your input is amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on NHL Draft Class.
Yes, I can't wait to see where you and Mike put those D-men.
It'll be interesting. It'll be as hard for us as it was for you guys to separate.
For sure. For sure. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Mike, that was great stuff from Dan. Before we kind of go back into what we talked about with Dan, I want to touch on the international list a little bit. That also was released today. Ivar Stenberg, right at the top of the list. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. Albert Smits, the big defenseman who finished a year in the German League, is number two. We had the chance to watch both guys at World Juniors, so we kind of have the rare opportunity to see them in person. Any surprise there that it's still Stenberg one, Smits two, and you know, I still think Smits could be the number one European prospect this year in the draft. He's a guy that, you know, reminds me of the year we watched Mart Sider, and you know, the way he was able to dominate coming from a, you know, less traditional, let's call it, international background out of the German league. You know, I think Smits from Latvia played in Finland and Germany. He's just big, strong, skilled, skates well, everything you want out of a player.
One of the things that was so interesting at the meetings, Adam, was they had JP Vernon and Yanni on a Zoom call. And so all the scouts, so then there was a total of 10 full-timers, just discussing not only the North American list, but the international list was intertwined in this now. So it was a real curious conversation. And one of the things that I remember Yanni saying was he believes like Albert Smits, this is it's close between Ivar and Albert Smits in this ranking. Obviously what Ivar was able to do at World Junior Championship, you know, kind of, you know, set the tone for what we feel is going to be an exceptional talent at the NHL level, and what he's done with in the Swedish Hockey League with Frölunda has been outstanding this year. And he obviously was able to push the pace and was one of the top forwards for Sweden at World Juniors. But Albert Smits, when you consider, you know, led the World Junior team for Latvia in ice time, then was able to go to the Olympics and represent Latvia in the Olympics. And just as you mentioned, there you kind of get that feeling of Moritz Seider when you watch him. Just he's not intimidated by anything. And I remember, Adam, when you know, he was asked about, hey, you're going up against Team Canada here. This was at the World Junior Championship, going up against Gavin McKenna and a lot of these top prospects. What's going through your mind? And he kind of smirked and smiled and said, shit, you know, I go against these big, powerful guys every day in Liga in Finland, so I'm not at all intimidated by anyone. So that's what scouts, that's what GMs want to hear when you're thinking or talking about prospects that you want within your pipeline. So, look, this Albert Smits, you know, player is something to watch. Hey, even Albert Smits could be the top defenseman taking this draft. It's no holds barred here as far as where these defensemen are going to go. As Dan Marr mentioned, you just don't know. So, look, Smits is one of those players that I think is going to push the pace here. And one other player, just like to mention on the international side, is Viggo Bork for Sweden as well. Played for Djurgården. He was exceptional, Adam, wasn't he, at the World Junior Championship? You know, a smaller size player, but just the acceleration, the edge work, allowing him to separate from players, was able to win face-off draws, a real good two-way player for what he was able to show. And I think personally, and he's number four on the international list, if a team has that pick, you know, in that 13 to 20 range, and Viggo Bjork is still there, this forward who's, you know, just a menace to opposing defenses whenever he's in the zone or in the corners. He's not afraid to go anywhere on the ice. I think would be a solid pick.
I would even double down on that. I think Viggo Bjork could be the first center off the board this year in the draft. Ahead of Tynan Lawrence, ahead of Caleb Malhotra. We saw at the World Juniors what he's capable of at that size. The skill and the bite and the what he brings to the game, that dog on a bone mentality, like nobody's going to let him get pushed out of the game, and nobody's told him he's 5'10" or 5'9" or whatever he is. In a way, he's similar, I think, to Claude Giroux in that way, where, you know, nobody's told him he's not 6'4" and 200 pounds. You know, nobody's told him he's an undersized quote unquote player. And that's what he brings to the table. And look, if you're a team looking for a little bit extra bite with your skill up front, to me, I really like Viggo Bjork. Played high level games, plays against pros in Sweden. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me if he even could be a top five guy. Maybe he jumps ahead of a couple of those high end defensemen.
And just looking at the North American list again, Adam, just a couple quick notes for the fans out there that are probably listening to us and maybe viewing the rankings as we're in our discussion here. Jaden Kurtz was the top ranked high school player on the list from Rogers in Minnesota, was 77 at the midterm, is 63 here on the final list. Talked to Pat Cullen of Central Scouting. Big right shot defenseman, skilled, smart, can play offensively. Solid defensively, is committed to Wisconsin, which obviously they just lost to Denver 2-1 in the NCAA Men's Hockey Championship on April 11th. But great year for Kurtz. Played a little bit with Chicago in the United States Hockey League as well. Jackson Culver, the forward from London, 6'1", 180, had a story on him on NHL.com that ran maybe a few weeks ago. 20 goals, 52 points in 67 games. We all know he's the inline hockey sensation from the Cayman Islands in the Western Caribbean. He's number 29. He made it into the first round projection. He was a second round projection at the midterm at 45. So, another player to watch, has played really well with London in a top six and even top line role for the Knights this season. And finally, Adam, I just want to touch base on Wyatt Cullen. I know. We heard Dan Marr talking about Wyatt and why he was, moved up 10 spots. Interesting tidbit from the meetings. Spoke to Central Scouting's Pat Cullen, and it's interesting because Pat and Matt Cullen, Wyatt's dad, are first cousins. So it was a pretty cool dynamic there. Pat really rarely said anything during the meetings when Wyatt's name was brought up, just because, there is that family tie there. He didn't want to have any unfair advantage by speaking up on Wyatt's behalf. Obviously, he loves him, but there's no mistaking what Wyatt brought to the table this season when he was finally healthy for the program. 6'1", 174 pounds, moved to number 13, scored 34 points in 34 games, so he's a point-per-game player, three game winners, plus four rating. Obviously, the World U18s are upcoming. So a chance to add to his resume in Slovakia for the United States.
That's great stuff. And just with Wyatt Cullen, can he stay healthy and stay productive? That's the only question surrounding him. And now that the final rankings are out, we're a month shy of heading to Buffalo for the scouting combine, about 2.5 months shy of heading back to Buffalo for the 26th NHL draft. NHL draft class is going to be the place you need to be for all of your draft information. And Mike, we're going to continue with the stories, with the podcast. Listen to NHL Draft Class. We will have everything you need as we get ready for the 26th NHL draft.
Absolutely. NHL Draft Lottery as well, Adam, is coming up shortly next month. So that's another thing to look forward to as we determine the first 16 picks in this draft.
Absolutely. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.